This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 as well, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll get Buster Olney here in a couple of minutes. Talk some baseball because tonight we have Dodgers, Giants, Game 7.
Oh.
Yeah.
Buster, you lied to me. You told me it was the Brewers and the Rays. I bet on them.
That's a great point.
I bet on them. Bus.
9 p.m.
and
Eastern
now I'm
tonight.
Broke.
Dodgers Giants. So you do get that ultimate, you know, winner take all game. It's just you get it in five. So we'll discuss that and more things with him, including the Yankees making a move already. So you're starting to see changes happening.
Trade for Dom Smith.
Somebody's always, well, not trades, but, you know, movement when it comes to the coaching staff and everything. So you're seeing who's going to get the blame here, right? Tonight, Week 6 in the NFL, you have the Bucs and the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. Tom Brady, of course, Jalen Hurts, and them boys. So we have football as well. So lots to get to. We have your calls as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 that we want to continue to roll with. And we'll do that after I tell you it's Barton Hahn, and we're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So back to the calls we go. And I think Todd is back in New York. Todd.
Yeah, right
now we got you.
Hey, I want to say start off, I got a lot of respect for both of you guys. Alan, I watch you on MSG. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a Yankee fan. But I think it's very disrespectful for you to say that Kyrie Irving needs help because he's not following the masses. I'm quite sure Kyrie Irving's done a lot of research on this just as much as you have.
How are you sure? You're not sure about that, and all I'm saying is I feel like he sounded very confused. Conflicted and confused. Did you watch all 20 minutes? He was conflicted and confused,
Alan,
and he was taking.
Do you have Instagram Live, Alan?
Of course I do.
Do you ever go on Instagram Live yourself?
We do it all the time. We used to do it every day on our show.
So when you do that, you know that there's correspondence from whoever signs in the chat. They say stuff back to you. You may go off task if you had a script you're answering questions.
But that's not what he was doing. He was talking. He was directly talking to the camera about his situation.
He looked at his paper on the side, and he was still going back and forth with some of the people that were chatting with him.
Would you agree that
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Finish, Todd. Go ahead. Finish your point, Todd. I'm not. First of all, I actually changed my tone today to be supportive and sensitive to him, and you're telling me I'm still being offensive, which now completely blows my mind because this is now the problem. Is even when I'm trying to listen, I'm being told, no, you still aren't getting it because I'm not going to completely just stop and say, you're right. That's the problem in this country, Todd.
The problem in this country is that when athletes like Kyrie Irving, Colin Kaepernick, Muhammad Ali, their stance is different from everyone
else's.
Do not put them in the same category.
Did you know that Muhammad Ali did a commercial for vaccines in the 70s? Promoting it?
I'm not talking about the vaccine. I'm talking about taking a stance on what
But that's my point, Todd. What is the there is no stance.
Stance.
He made that clear to us that he doesn't really know what to do. He said he doesn't know what to do.
The stance is getting a vaccine does not prevent you.
No, that's not the stance. No, Todd, that's the stance you want to hear. Todd, I got to let you go because you're using our airwaves to promote something that is completely factually inaccurate. That's not what he said. He said he understands both sides and he's confused and he's unsure of what to do. That's what he said. He's not saying he didn't, and research and everything else, he didn't say anything like that. So you got to understand what people, it's amazing too, because some of the tweets we're getting is blowing my mind. Like, you hear what you want to hear. So all you want me to say is, you know what? He's right. That's all you want. And then you'll feel better instead of just opening your mind to listen. And that's kind of what I feel like Kyrie's trying to do. I'm trying to listen to everybody because everybody feels passionately about it. And I'm not quite sure what side I'm supposed to be on. And he's really conflicted by it. That's what I was saying.
He really pushed the narrative that he thought the world was flat.
Right. He was doing that for a while too, which I think he was doing for fun, and then it got out of hand, and he had to back off.
It's like you have to, like.
How many people out there agree with him? That's what I want to know. You agree with him on this? Do you agree with him on the world is flat thing too? Did you agree with him? Were you following him there in lockstep? I love this sheep thing that everybody does, right?
I love the, okay, but, challenge what you're taught, right? I was always taught to challenge what you taught, but like he's not being clear with his message. Like we don't know. He's not anti-vax, so what is this about?
He understands everybody's. He's understanding everybody's. I think, like I said, he sees a lot of things and a lot of emotion, and it's just he's overwhelmed by it, and he's not sure what to do. And that's what I saw, and I'm trying to be sensitive to it.
To the fact that he needs to talk to somebody and get understanding, so he can come to a proper conclusion to make a proper decision with all the information.
We shall see. Let's move on from this. Get some other stuff. Will is in Virginia and wants to challenge you on the top five quarterbacks. Hey, Will.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm not going to touch the Kyrie thing. I called in last week, spoke to y'all. I wanted to talk to Bart, man. I had ESPN on at my desk this morning. I saw you on Get Up, man. And, you know, I have to commend you, man, because you took a stance, man. You know, similar to Kyrie, man. No, I'm just playing. Took a stance, man. Hey, you asked your colleagues. You said, tell me who is better than Lamar Jackson. I'm gonna put it like this. You had your top five. You had Lamar, Tom Brady. You had your top five. You asked everybody, take one out. Who's gonna come? Yeah. Who's gonna come in? Who's gonna come out? No one really had a decisive word. I'm gonna say this: Aaron Rodgers has got to come out, and this is why. Quarterback. That's the leader of the team. Yeah. Regardless, Aaron Rodgers did not put his team in a position to succeed this offseason. Kyler Murray was doing what it took to have his team in a position to be undefeated this year. I'm gonna put Kyler in. I'm gonna take Aaron Rodgers out, and I'm gonna say this: Lamar Jackson has the least amount of players to work with. His boys got his back. You know, Hollywood Brown is dropping touchdowns left and right. Mark Andrews did his thing, but Lamar Jackson is going off 400 yards passing, damn near 100 yards rushing. I mean, you got to give the man his flowers, man. He is really doing the most with the least. And you cannot say there's anybody better.
Hold up, Will.
Hold
do you realize, Will, that you basically said verbatim exactly the same words I said on Get Up?
Bart's argument was
that's
about
my
Lamar Jackson.
That's why Lamar.
Yeah. Now, I appreciate it, Will, but it is interesting that he said though he's using the reason. Thanks, Will. The reason to take Aaron Rodgers out had to do with the offseason, although. After week one,
they look
pretty freaking good. Like, you know, he looks
fine.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
So he was trying to find a reason to take one out, and that's certainly what he did there. Okay. Rocky's in New Jersey. Come on, Rocky.
All right, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Good, all right. The top four, you know, you got Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, and Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson?
One I'm going to challenge you guys on. Yeah, Russell Wilson, of course.
This year?
Crazy? Of course, Russell Wilson.
Russell, hold on.
Well, not this year.
Just had a lifetime achievement award. Jim Kelly in there, too?
It's about this year.
It's about this year, man. Like, it's fluid. You can't talk about the history of the game.
All right, I'll finish it off. I'll take Josh Allen at four and Lamar Jackson at five.
Okay, so who's your top three?
He said he's got Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and who was your third?
Mahomes. Okay, you damn near got my list, but you put Mahomes in. Mahomes traditionally would be in that conversation, but he's not playing to that caliber right now. He's struggling a little bit. He got six interceptions, more interceptions he's ever had. How is it outside of his control? Lamar Jackson has less to work with than what he has to, so he's controlling what he can control. That's all you can do is control what you can control.
Lamar Jackson's got a much better offensive line.
Whoa. He has Orlando Brown. He has Tooney, who has three of the top free agents, and they traded for Orlando Brown Jr., who was with Lamar Jackson. So what the hell are you talking about? And Ronnie Stanley ain't even playing. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
he's
rebuilt,
$100 million left tackle that hasn't played. Right,
City
he
too.
Has Charlie Villanueva. Like, what are you talking about? That's a flawed. He got a better offensive line.
The calls have been interesting today.
Really,
we will
that's
get
what
back
he said. What's in the,
he
what's
did
in the
say
punch?
That. We will get back. We
did you see Villanueva when he the first game right. where Nassib they get Nassib gave him five sacks?
Can I make
sacks?
You feel better? I'm going to make you feel better by telling you that the next caller is Buster Olney.
Buster Buzz.
And he joins us right now in the Goodyear Hotline.
I need to talk to Buster because I lost money.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Buster, you told me Tampa Bay and the Brewers, and I bet the farm.
He's got a farm, too, just like your family.
I got alpacas. What you got?
My farm. Thank God I didn't bet my farm on that one. Good Lord.
Man. Yeah. I'll put it this way.
My son is a Braves fan, you know, and he's all fired up and excited, and he's like, Dad, please don't pick them to win. That's where I am right now.
I tell you what, man, Freddie Freeman is, like, amazing, man. Like for the guys who parachute in and watch baseball like me sometimes, like, this guy is amazing. I think, like, it looks like I'm watching, like, they upgraded to another Chipper Jones type of classy, clutch type of
dude. That's a great comparison.
And it's crazy,
man. I keep coming,
like,
back to Chipper Jones on the same way, Buster. Do you see kind of that same parallel?
Well, I just feel like Freddie Freeman played in another era. And in fairness to, you know, the people of that time, players of that time, that's when, you know, pitchers are throwing 89 rather than 99. And yet Freddie, because of that great approach he has, when you watch him take batting practice, you know, he's a left-handed hitter and it's line drive over shortstop and line drive to left field. I remember once asking him about doing the home run derby, which he eventually tried, but he said, I'm like the worst person for the home run derby. Because mm-hmm. That's not his approach. He's trying to put the ball in play the other way. And if he gets an opportunity to jump a pitch, he'll do that. He is a tremendous player. You know, he's a free agent in the fall, and you would assume at some point he and the Braves work out something because he is the next Chipper Jones in that franchise.
Yeah, and if anybody, you know, don't want to have to deal with Chipper Jones, it should be the Mets. The Mets should go out again. I don't care where you play him. That slider that he hit, you know, the first slider that he hit was a hater. That was a thing of beauty. Thing of beauty, man. It made me want to just speak like Pedro Serrano, man. Look at the scoreboard, not grasshopper. You know what I mean? Forget you, Joe Boo. I do it myself. I mean, this dude is just so clutch. He's such a joy to watch.
Well, I'd say this. Pedro Serrano in the movie Major League swung and missed more than Freddie will over the entire season. So there's one big difference.
Well, we know Pedro Serrano could probably play for the Yankees with all the swing and misses that he had. Speaking of which, yeah, and that leads me to this. And Buster, you know that pained me to say. Buster only joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Athletic reporting, that's at least the first one that I saw, that the Yankees have informed Marcus Thames, the hitting coach, that his contract will not be renewed. Is that step one? Is that, like, you know, the collateral damage? Do you expect much to happen there with this team after watching the Red Sox and the Astros, the haters' ball, return to the ALCS? In the amount of time, like I said, since 2017, the amount of time since then that the Yankees were supposed to have been on that upward trajectory, these two franchises have been punished, fined, lost managers, and yet here they are back while the Yankees are in the midst of having to figure it all out. So is this the first move? Is this the only move? What do you expect?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some more moves. Look, you know, yesterday, if this had all been clean and resolved, yesterday would have been the perfect day for the Yankees to announce something because there were no baseball games yesterday. The commissioner's dictum about making news would not have applied. And so the fact we got through yesterday without hearing anything from the Yankees about Aaron Boone and what his status is and, you know, what's the coaching status tells you how complicated it is. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Marcus Thames was definitely, was among the people you felt was most vulnerable coming out of the regular season because, you know, the expectation within the organization coming into the year was that they were, again, going to have a top-five offense. An organization that led the majors in runs from 2017 into 2020 and instead – they finished 19th. There might be some other changes there. And while, you know, as I reported early in the week, Hal Steinbrenner it seemed like he's inclined to keep Aaron Boone, but it's complicated because Aaron Boone has an expiring contract. And if you're going to bring him back, you know, this is not a situation where you got a manager with 1 year left on his deal and you say, yeah, okay, come back for the last year. They would have to negotiate a new deal. And I talked with executives of other teams, and they say that someone in Boone's situation, if the team wants it back, typically get a 2 or 3 year deal. You know, does Hal Steinbrenner have an appetite for that? Does Aaron Boone, have an appetite for a shorter deal if that's what the Yankees offer? Or, you know, would he like to be available in case a team like the Padres, who are looking for a manager, want to talk to him? It's not a clean situation, that's for sure. You know, maybe we'll hear more today as the day goes along.
Hey, Buzz. What are your thoughts on, you know, reseeding when you think about the Giants and Dodgers and how they should have met in the next round and shouldn't have met that early? Do you think they should switch it? Do you think they will switch it? Or do you like it just the way it is?
I like it this way. You know, I feel like that you get, yes, you get the occasional outlier situation with the Dodgers, you know, arguably the second best team, if not the first best team in baseball, and they have to play the wild card game, and then they, you know, moving forward would be the road team if they win tonight against the Atlanta Braves. I kind of feel like tough, you know? You want division, more right? than win the division. Okay. I think it's such an outlier situation. I wouldn't blow up the whole playoff plan in order to do make that happen. I would say this. I don't think the playoffs in 2022 are going to resemble what they are now, because I think that when we have the next collective bargaining agreement, the playoffs, the whole system is going to change. I think if you see expanded playoffs to like 14 teams, and you know, you'll have different rounds. I've heard a lot of different ideas,
wow.
but I don't really feel like it's unfair for the Dodgers. Everybody knew what the situation was going into the year.
Yeah, if you're right. It feels like, right, this is just like the outlier, the anomaly. This is not normally what happens. It just happened to be this way. And for us, you know, you'd rather see a seven-game classic series and the two best should go to the World Series off of this. It just doesn't work out that way. But because you said it, I do need to follow up. Are you talking about the potential of like a wild card round, extra teams, that type of thing, where we'll have, instead of a one and done situation like the wild card is right now, that we could see what we kind of saw a little bit they flirted with last year?
Three game?
I you know, it's funny because I've heard some ideas on the player side where they have almost like a round robin college World Series type tournament among, you know, teams that are not the very top seeds. So maybe for a few days, those teams are playing. That would be pretty cool if they did something like that. Look, if you wound up having 14 teams, that would mean seven teams in each league, which means you could theoretically do a best out of three for six teams, and getting the number one seed gets you a bye through the first round. There are a lot of ways to do it, but, you know, in Major League Baseball, as we saw in the spring, when they asked the Player Association to talk about an expanded playoff system for 2021, they passed on it. I think with more time, with more deliberation, I think it makes sense for not only Major League Baseball, but its broadcast partners, like the one that we work for. I think for the players, it'll make more sense. I think they get more cash out of it. I still don't understand why they didn't agree to it for this year.
Yeah, I see. And when people make the argument, more teams, you're watering it down, now it's too easy to make the playoffs, I say the more markets engaged in not just playing in the playoffs, but competing for the playoffs down the stretch, it's better for the sport. It's better for the broadcast partners. It's better for everything than having where, all right, well, most of the league, you know, like, you know, you're out of it and only a handful of teams are still in it. Now you got, if you can get half the league still play, like the NBA just did it. You got 2/3 of the league now competing for a playoff spot. That's a big deal late in the season, instead of seeing tanking and resting guys and all that stuff. The competitive balance is so much stronger when you add playoff games. Before we let you go, Buster, I do got to ask you, because the ALCS, we're calling it the haters ball, because it is the Astros. Who can like them? It is the Red Sox. Who can like them?
Is this broadcast originate in New York, possibly?
Shocking, isn't it? But I mean, come on. Now, around the league, nobody really likes the Astros. So with that in mind, is this a good thing for baseball, however? Because, you know, negative attention is still attention.
Yes, I would agree with you. And the other thing, too, is while, you know, social media and the fans will, a lot of fans will never forgive the Astros, and Jose Altuve will always get booed, and Carlos Correa will always get booed, and Alex Bregman will always get booed. Within the sport, there is, you know, among active players I've talked to, a real respect for those guys, because I tell you what, you know, it's becoming like a badge of honor. Like, those guys are getting booed, and you know what? They're going on and playing great. Mm-hmm. Carlos Correa put on like an audition tape in that White Sox series, how he hit, how he fielded, how he led on the field. It's two strange of thoughts. One, I don't think a lot of people ever forgive the 2017 Astros, but on the flip side, a lot of respect for how those guys have sort of pushed through this whole issue, as opposed to disappearing. Look, I covered Roberto Alomar when he went through the spitting incident, and after a couple of years, he kind of disappeared. Mm. Like some guys, you know, they eventually just sort of dry up and go away. In the case of the Astros players, they pushed through it, and they seem to be, you know, beyond it.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere, and you can't deny it at this point. Five straight, at least reaching the ALCS. They're doing something right, no matter what, even when they have reset and gone through all the punishments and everything else. So while I don't need to like them, I can at least respect it.
One word answer, Buster, Giants or Dodgers? I got Joe the Bookie on the line.
You're going to ask me that question after it cost you money? Yeah. I got Giants at home. They won two-thirds of their home game.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take the Dodgers.
Buster, always great to have you on. All the best. Enjoy the game tonight.
Bus!
See you guys.
Buster only on the Goodyear hotline. That was kind of savage what you did to him there. That was pretty savage. All right, coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We have your calls coming up. Also, one of the people who John Gruden personally insulted has spoken.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to hear what was said. After Bart has this from ZipRecruiter.
How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter invites to apply, lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisitions at My Doula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter invite to apply. She says, I love the feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite the candidates. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/BART to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
It is that music that, like, at the end of it, like, at the wedding, the DJ starts playing it like this. We want to thank you all for coming out.
See y'all later. Thank you.
On the move, DJs.
All right, we got the prop bets. We got 30% on it doesn't last 6 months.
Wow. That's that part of the night. All bets are in.
Yeah, which one of the bridesmaids?
All right. Barnhart.
Go ahead. Yeah, you better start.
I am starting. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Buster Olney was here with us. The Hall of Famer, Jim Kelly, was on the show with us as well. If you missed anything, just find the Barnhart podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And just hit subscribe. You miss a damn thing. And you know what you won't miss? What we got coming up right now. And I'll tell you in a second, because we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Who you calling small? Cover what you work so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So, Bart, we have talked. The callers have talked. Now it's time to hear from the headline makers in a segment we call
Audio Files.
The Audio File. The Audio File.
So, in the fallout of the John Gruden controversy with the emails that have been released and therein a lot of different things that John Gruden said in these emails that have led to him resigning as the head coach of the Raiders. But it all began with comments he made about DeMarre Smith 10 years ago during
his
collective bargaining. Yeah. Right. And DeMarre Smith, of course, the NFLPA executive director, where he used a derogatory term about him. Well, what does DeMarre Smith think of this and his thoughts? And as Gruden didn't want to reach out and talk to him about it, well, here's what he had to say.
This particular situation, the reports have been that John Gruden has reached out to you. Are those true?
He did. And you know, I texted John back after he called on Saturday. I texted him and said, hey, I know you've got a game to coach. Let's get in touch later on in the week. That was before Monday.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I'm sure we'll talk.
Now, that's from the Bomani Jones podcast. And
not anymore.
D. Smith is, by the way, I mean, could you handle any better
than
he
did there? Don't be the bigger person, man. I hate that black folk. Be, man, be. No. I want to be
Come
a
on.
Mirror.
No.
No, hell no.
DeMar Smith was, he was incredible. He's always, though, a very classy guy. Like that, but that's who he is, though.
Yeah, I know.
I've interviewed him before. He's like a really good guy. I know you know him well. Yeah. But that, you know what? Handling that.
Why didn't you tell me? You know I got him on speed dial. We talk all the time. Why didn't you tell me to call him on? Why about my? No, you know what? Okay.
Hang on a second.
I should have called him.
Why haven't you? Why didn't you get him on the show?
I wasn't thinking.
Really?
I'm going through an audit, man, right now with Amazon. I forgot. You got to remind me of these things, man.
At Bart and Hunt right now on Twitter, if you believe Bart just let us down.
Yeah.
All right, we love Bo. I love Bo.
I love Bo.
That he got him. I think it's great. But, I mean, Bo makes enough money, man. All right? He's got enough shows. He makes enough money. He's a big star. Can you? Yeah, now, of course, on Plus, we're going to promote his podcast.
Like, it's weird because I'm so used to seeing him without hair. Now he got the curly. Bo. Now he got the curls.
But, you know, you got to add us right now. At Bart and Hunt, if you agree as a listener that Bart just let the show down. You cost us money.
Yeah, I did. Cost us.
That would have been a big get.
I cost us ratings, man. Damn.
And then you got Hollywood Brown coming at you.
I just feel attacked,
really,
man.
Really disappointed right now.
But I tell you what, I wonder. Those comments were Saturday, right? So I wonder now that the rest of the information came out Monday morning, is it any need? Because before he was trying, John Gruden had gave himself a path that said it wasn't racist.
Right.
Now we know that it was racist, that it was that term was meant exactly how we thought it meant. Right. It wasn't just a lack of understanding. And now more has come out. So I wonder if it's even a reason to talk about. Because what I hate is when I hate when people use people as a prop.
Why don't you call him and ask?
All right.
You still need to talk to him.
Remember, I put my cousin on the phone.
Yeah, we want it not from jail. Let's not do that.
Well, I can't call him. He got to call me.
Well, why don't you just
text him? I pay for it.
Why don't you just text him?
No, I was talking about my nephew from jail.
Yes, that was in the morning show. We did that and we both almost got thrown off the radio.
All right, let me see.
But see, ask him while we're doing audio files.
What do you want me to ask?
We just played your interview with Bomani Jones. Do you still feel there's a reason to talk to John Gruden or no? That's all we're looking for is a response.
All right. Hopefully I have it before the show.
Yeah. Before the show's over. I would hope before the segment's over.
All right, keep going.
So we'll continue on this on the Raiders' point of view because they do have a season to finish. Mike Mayock, the GM, discussing how the whole group now is dealing with the fact that the head coach has walked away, that there is this controversy around the team, and yet they still have to compete.
I've talked to several of the black players. Okay? I think we've reached out to a bunch of players, black and white. Everybody's got emotions and feelings. I've talked to some of the people in my department that are black, and my director of pro scouting. And I just said, DJ, I can't put myself in your shoes. Help me. Okay? So we've spent a pretty good amount of time trying to help these guys and talk with these guys, not talk out at them, but with them. And the other thing I would say is just for Carl, let's be honest, he's a community of one that's openly gay. Okay. We do have a large community of African-American players we're trying to do everything we can for that community as well, obviously.
Now, when he says Carl, he's referring to Carl Nassib, who did come out in the offseason. And then one of the things that Gruden had said in these emails is how he was against the idea of the league wanting a team to draft an openly gay player. So that, of course, pretty clear there's issues there. But how do you feel about what Mayock says there, though, about wanting to make sure he talks to all of the black players and obviously Nassib as well?
Well, I think that Nassib is who I'm more concerned with because he is one person, right? He has nobody else
to talk to, right?
African American players are used to this, man.
But that doesn't make it right.
We've endured and understood like the underlying prejudice and racism that we have to deal with kind of comes with the territory. So we've learned how to deal with this. Like being openly a gay athlete is something that's relatively new to athletes having to deal with because there's been very few that have been brave enough to come out. And he's playing in a place where he thought about acceptance, right? He was thinking he was accepted. And to find out, not only is he accepted, that he may be despised, you know, by the very man that he entrusted who thought that it took a lot of bravery for him to do and say what he said. Now, maybe the 10 years ago, maybe John Gruden has softened, as a lot of people have softened on that. But still, his underlying prejudice is still there. And that's what I'm talking about, right? You know what I mean? It's crazy to think that he is going to have to try and move forward
and understand that maybe everybody's smiling my face. Now, so now he has a question to everybody that has said, oh, I accept you. I love you. You're our brother. And maybe he's questioning his decision to come out, and maybe he feels uncomfortable in his workspace. So, you know, not only do the players need to rally around him, but management, because that may be the perception from management. You know, players are pretty genuine. Like, they say they don't care, ain't got nothing, they don't care about it, then they don't care about it. You know, they don't have time to sit up and lie to you. If they don't like you, they'll say, I don't rock with you, bro, and they just won't hang with you, and they'll let you do what you do.
Yeah, well, it's not – it can't – I mean, it's a game, I understand that, but – still, going through all this stuff, it does mess with a team a
little
bit.
You're in a season, man. I got
to
play.
It does mess with a team, and you got to go through it, and they've got to figure it out because, you know, they got to make the playoffs. I mean, they've had some issues as well just as a team to get where they need to be, and now you've got this upheaval. So we'll see where they go from here. Last but not least, so opening night, NHL was big. The second night, you had some history as Alex Ovechkin scored 2 goals, and now he has moved up to 5th overall all time in scoring, in goal scoring in the NHL.
Alex Ovechkin still a goal away from tying Marcel Dion for 5th all time in NHL history, of course, out here on Power Play 1. That's about the only exclamation point you could want right now, and there it is! He scores! Alex Ovechkin! Goal number 731! He ties Marcel Dion for 5th all time! It's 4-0 Washington.
And that, of course, from the Capitals Radio Network. He scored another goal to then move ahead of Marcel Dion to have now sole possession of 5th. Up next, Brett Hull. Then eventually, Gordie Howe. And then the great one at number 1, he has to pass.
Say that again, who?
At 894.
So, like, in Gordie Howe played, it was only 20 games. So, really, if you prorate Gordie Howe's career, he really has 1,600 unofficial goals.
He is 34 away from Jaromir Jagr. And then Gordie Howe at 801. And then Wayne Gretzky, the great one, at 894. And as we, you know, I mean, you could argue that Ovechkin might already be pushing Gretzky, if not for 2 lockouts. And then, of course, COVID taking away some games over the last 2 years as well. So,
if Gordie had to
can he get it done before III, the age of 40? That's the question. Gordie, he did not play in
Gordie
World War II.
Gordie didn't have to play with World War III.
No, 3?
I mean, World War II, then Gordie would still be, like, number 1.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And they only made left-footed skates, too. He only had left-footed skates. So, like, if he would have had a left and a right, he definitely would have had at least 1,000 goals.
Yes.
Gordie Howe, man. He didn't did it without a face
It wasn't even
too,
a
man.
Wood stick. It was a tree branch.
Gordie Howe was
He had
amazing,
steak
man.
Knives on his taped to his
Gordie
feet.
Gordie Howe is like the Babe Ruth of baseball. He's a godfather, man.
I mean,
he was the greatest for so long.
Yes. Yeah, that part's accurate. That part is accurate. But there was a guy also called Maurice Rocket Richard. It was Toe Blake.
Never heard of him.
It was Eddie Shore.
Never heard of him.
And that is Audiophiles. And we are Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. So, coming up, the Washington football team made an announcement today.
They're releasing all the emails?
And it's a great announcement.
Oh.
It's something definitely worth celebrating. But the timing of it is kind of curious. And I want Bart's take on it. And yours as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Back, Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Bart, we were talking with Jim Kelly earlier in the show, the Hall of Famer, and you know he does have his allegiance to the Bills for good reason, and of course he feels very strongly about Josh Allen, as you do too. And it begs the question: right now, when you look, I'm going to ask it.
Oh.
Right now, when if you are starting for, you remember how we talked about the Seattle Kraken? They had the expansion draft.
Yes.
Let's just say you have a new franchise in the NFL and you could do a full expansion draft.
Yes.
You could draft any quarterback you want to start your franchise.
Give him St. Louis a new franchise.
Whatever it is, you are now that GM and you have your choice of any quarterback in the league that you're going to start your franchise with. Who would it be?
With the number overall pick in the expansion draft, the Rams Budweisers select Sam Darnold. No, I'm just playing. Give me Josh Allen, and this is why, right? I love Lamar Jackson and what he's able to do with his feet. I love Patrick Mahomes and what he's able to do with his arm. I think that Josh Allen is the perfect combination of all their skills combined. I get concerned with Lamar Jackson because he runs so much and he's not the biggest guy. I get concerned that one day I am going to see what happened to RG3 happen to him. And then sometimes I get concerned with Patrick Mahomes that he doesn't have the mobility to make teams pay. I know he runs sometimes, but he doesn't have that dynamic athleticism in the pocket to make people miss and be able to kill you running, you know, with his legs, you know, because he's got a little Luka Doncic McDonald's body going on right there. You know what I mean? So, like, I think Josh Allen's just a perfect combination of both. He has Patrick Mahomes' arms, but he's able to run effectively just as much as Lamar Jackson.
You didn't mention Justin Herbert, who would also be a very popular name.
Because they're the same
here.
People. They're the same people to me. They're the same people to me.
Well, Lamar Jackson's 24. Josh Allen's 25.
Don't talk about body type. They're the same people.
Justin Herbert's 23. So you're just, but you didn't even mention him though. Like, so would he even be in the consideration, or are you just straight up Josh Allen's your guy? My pushback is this: Patrick Mahomes might not be having a great year this year, and we want to now start this conversation about he's not even the best quarterback in the league. And I'll say this: he's 26, and I don't think he's reached his potential. Not even near.
He hasn't. But
and when you talk about his lack of mobility and the body type, I tell you that. You also have to, to sustain greatness for a long time, which if I'm taking you to start my franchise, you need to sustain greatness. I don't want you for right now. I don't want it for like a little burst of speed. I want it for a marathon.
Yeah.
Because I want to win a bunch of Super Bowls. And those guys aren't the ones that run. Those guys are the ones that win with this, the brain. And you can't tell me out of the young quarterbacks, Mahomes is the smartest of all of them. He is the smartest of all of them for many reasons. The arm angles, the ability to make certain throws, the ability to create in the midst of chaos, all of that's there.
That's what's getting him in trouble, though. And remember, you talk about he's the smartest. Remember, he came in the league and admitted he didn't know how to read defense until year two.
Okay.
So like, he can't be the smartest. Now, even since then, of course.
Reading defenses and also learning how to improvise are two different things. And I think he has that innate ability to improvise in the midst of chaos, which is not easy to do.
Yeah, but in this league now, the athletes are a little bit better. And listen, Mahomes has been on the best teams that he's ever going to be on because, remember, he fell in the draft and he came on a team that was already in the midst of their run.
True.
They're going to have to restart over with new people. They already started on that offensive line. That offensive line isn't as good as it was once was. And he's going to lose Tyrann Mathieu, who the Honey Badgers getting old.
That's
he's going
not
to
lose about, Travis whoa, whoa. Kelce. But now you're making a different argument. That's about the franchise. It's not about him. If I'm starting a franchise, I'm better than whatever they're doing right now.
What I'm
and
saying,
I'm going to make sure I build it properly around him.
What I'm saying is you haven't seen the best of Josh Allen because he hasn't had the pieces around him. Once he does that and you see him at his apex, I think you'll see him in the same way as Mahomes. Back after this!
All right, let us
That's all we got.
I agree. We just had an argument. But it was not like
I'm arguing with everybody.
We didn't
today.
Have a phenomenon. Nah, but you and
first
me and of
Kim,
all,
they call him George and Wheezy. Yeah. I'm arguing with Hollywood Marquise.
Yeah. Well, did we get Latavius. The clip? Did we get the clip that we could just, you know, I'm going to leave this right here in the mentions?
I don't know. Did we get,
did we get the clip yet? Because we've got to get that clip. And it's you're going to do it so passive aggressive because instead of doing your own post and adding him, no. You just drop it right. You just
in the reply.
Little ratio action. Drop it right in the reply. I'm going to leave this right here.
I'm waiting for my –
because you know we'll see it.
I'm waiting for my – oh, he got it. He sent
it.
But how do I send it? You know I don't know nothing about technology. Can we do this on the air?
You got to save
can we
it.
Show people
well,
who
you got to save the video.
Ooh, it's a short segment.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter.
Okay.
Well, I'm just going to leave this with you.
Let's go ahead
through my, don't go through my pictures.
I'm not – I'll do that. I've got to host the show right now. I'll handle it. Don't worry about it.
Huh?
But in the
– just eat the baby.
In the meantime – you're so fired up for this. In the meantime, did you get a response from D. Smith?
Nah, we got official, unofficial. You know what I'm saying?
Officially unofficial.
We down like both flats.
Okay, so he acknowledged you, but he just doesn't want to want anything out there.
Yeah,
public.
fifth. Right.
Fair enough. Okay, but you did get the response.
Yeah, I do.
Can
have
we get
real
him
number.
On the show? Is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't have his burner. You know what I mean? I got his real joint. You know what I'm saying? No.
He didn't reach out. You didn't reach out to his manager.
Yeah,
you know, like some people say. Yeah, I talked to him. Who'd you talk to?
Yeah, the representative.
His rep.
Blink three times if I'm telling the truth.
Do we need to see all the emails? Because and here's the thing with Washington is that continues to now be a story about them. And in the midst of all that, now remember, no one with the Washington football team has been implicated. No one. It's John Gruden. He's the guy that has been implicated out of this whole thing. But it's interesting that the. They did announce that Sunday against the Chiefs.
Just out the blue.
But it's a great thing, though.
Yeah, but just out the blue.
They will retire Sean Taylor's number. The late Sean Taylor, who is a beloved player in that franchise's history.
And
tragically, you know,
Not in the player, not just in, like, the people in the league loved him.
Yeah.
Loved everything he stood for, you know what I mean?
Great, like, respect for Sean Taylor all around the league.
Everybody loved Sean Taylor, and I remember that when he tragically lost his life because someone who used to work at his house, you know, thought he was gone because it was the season, but he was there at home because he was injured. So he went home to Miami, and they broke in. He was there with his wife, his girlfriend,
story.
And all he
Terrible.
Had was a machete. He wasn't allowed to carry guns because he had a felony. So he had his issues, but, you know, somebody who worked there tried to break in his house and shot him, and he died. And just how it broke everybody up, you know, in the league, and it changed all the players in the league as far as how we see our safety and protecting our families when we're going out of town, right? Because everybody knows when we're out of town, and they assumed that he was out of town. He just wasn't out of town that time, and that could have been any of us, right?
So they announced that not only were they retiring the number 21, third player, by the way, to have the number retired.
Player,
so this is not something they do often. They also are going to rename the road leading to the stadium Sean Taylor Road.
And you know about that road? The beautiful thing about that road is people used to always say, like, you know, people who worked there, and Lewis Riddick worked with him at that time, like, yo, who car is that in the parking lot? And his car is always in the parking lot because he used to run to home and back. He was just a beast. He always was training. So instead of driving home, he would jog home at like 4 or 5 miles. And drive to work every day. That he was a beast. I was there on the opposing side for the AFC when he de-cleated the punter that everybody remembers, Morton or something. Thought he was going to do a fake punt in the Pro Bowl. Man, he came out like Charlie Hustle. Like, no, this is for real. Like, man, this is supposed to be an exhibition.
Yes. So this is – it's something that you want to celebrate,
timing,
that you love it. The timing, of course, is one of those that you kind of go, but – word is they have – this has been in the conversation for a long time. It's not something they just pulled out of the air. But
Dan
doing it right now, of course, is something. So you hope it's celebrated for all the right reasons because it's certainly well-deserved. Coming up, more of your calls next.
Send back our response, Alan. Send our response.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.